Father, your Holy Spirit has full, total, and complete control here tonight. You do what you want to do, Father. Like Toby Mac says, come and steal our show. Come and do what you want to do, Father, not what we want to do. If you really want me to come and steal your show, children, then start clicking your heels. Start dancing and rejoicing before me. Start allowing me to have full, total, and complete control of your total lives. I've been saying for years now, decades now, that I don't want 99.9, I want 100% of you, or I don't want any of you. That 1% you're holding back for yourself is destroying all the works that I'm trying to do through you and within you. We are getting ready to climb the mountains. We are getting ready to destroy the works of the enemy. We are getting ready to do a great and a mighty thing all across this nation. Are you one of the we? Are you working for me? Or are you working against me? I'm not chastising. I just need you to think. Stop and think. Where are you really at with me? What are you really ready to give up without complaining? Are you ready to give me your plans for your future? Are you ready to say, here I am, Lord. Whatever you want to do with my life is just fine with me. And throw all your desires to the wind. You have to be totally equipped to go forth and do the works that I'm calling you forth to do. You have to be so full of me that nothing else in life matters except your walk with me. No hidden agendas. Just total 100% commitment to me and what I have written down for you to accomplish in your short walk here on this earth. I am the Alpha, the Omega, and the beginning. And I am in you, and I'm working in you, and I'm around about you, and I'm working through you to accomplish the works that needs to be accomplished in this given hour. Each and every season has a purpose, and you are in a new season. The purpose for this season is to prepare the land for the second coming of my Son, Jesus. And how do you do that? You do that by working at bringing the harvest in. The harvest has to be brought in before my Son can return. I am the bright and morning star. I am with you from the time you open your eyes until the time you close them, and then I come and visit you in the wee hours of the morning, and I speak volumes into your spirit, man. Some hear it, some feel it, and some don't even know that I even came during the night to visit you. But I am asking you this night to look up. Look up, for the world around about you is changing. It's never, ever going to be the same. So I need you to continue to look up, for your redemption doth draweth nigh. I am asking you to be different than the crowd. I'm asking you to stand out, but when you stand out, you will stand out like my Son Jesus did. Not because you're working for the enemy, but because you're working for heavenly purposes. Ask yourself this right now. Where am I in God's timeline in my life? Time, as you know it, is going to change. Everything that you've known up to this point is going to start changing. Adverse situations all over the place. Hardly no peace. That is why I'm sending you forth as peacemakers into a troubled land. The world has spun out of control, and I want to use you to help me bring it back into control. The changes are coming before you in the days ahead are changes that you're not going to want to see. But because of the wickedness, even in the White House, because of the wickedness all across the land, you will see these things. They will manifest right before your very eyes. You will hear and see things you've never heard or seen before. For this is a time of great tribulation. This is a time when the enemy is on the prowl. This is a time where many will turn their back on me and walk away from me, never to return. But you, my beloved ones, you're not like the world. You're not of the world. You're my hand-chosen vessels of honor that I desire to work through. You wait and see. Right now you think, oh, there's nothing going on. You wait and see what's coming across the land. You wait and see how I use you. I never abuse you. I use you for my kingdom purposes. The enemy is the abuser. Your father is a lover. Your father is a life giver. And your father's given you life more abundantly even this second, as you said in my presence. Yes, darkness will shroud the earth, but you don't have to be the one that's affected by the darkness. For I've been calling you to sharpen your light, make it bright, bring it forth so you can destroy the darkness. Have you been working on that? Have you been about your pleasure, or have you been about my business? Once again, I'm not chastising. I need you to sit and think. Ponder the things of the heavenly realm. Check yourself diligently to see if you're lining up with the words that I have spoken over you and to you and for you. My son Jesus sits in heavenly places, forever interceding for you. Your loved ones that have gone before you are cheering you on, and they're saying, come on, you can do this, you can make it. See how frail you are. You're already starting to give in to the wiles of the evil one. When I've called you and I've told you to keep your joy, I told you to rejoice when the adversity comes. But now is the day. Now is the day when things are winding up and not down. Now is the day when the enemy is throwing everything he has in his arsenal at my beloved ones. Now is your day of salvation. Now is your day to look up. Now is your day to gaze into my eyes and hold tightly to my hand so that the enemy has no place in you, absolutely no place. Redemption is coming nigh thy dwelling place. Resurrection power is being given to you. And you will go forth resurrected, and you will resurrect the dead. For I have foreordained this day, this hour, this second, to come into your life. There's so much that you need to understand that you don't understand. But as you read my word, you can see where the disciples walked with me, slept with me, ate with me, and could not understand the parables that I gave to the people. I had to explain it to them word for word, line upon line, and precept upon precept, so they would not fall into the snare of the fowler. I am going to do the very same thing to you. I'm not going to speak to you in parables. I will speak to you face to face, and I will give you the truth, and you will take that truth, and you will set the captives free. You need to understand tonight what I just said. Life as you know it is about ready to change, never to be the same ever again. Loved ones will be gone. Darkness will grow darker. You will feel like I have totally abandoned you, but I have not. I am calling you forth to arise and shine. I'm calling you forth to let your light shine in a dark, dark world. Nobody, absolutely nobody understands you like I do. So don't worry whether or not they understand you. You just keep doing what the Father tells you to do and be about the Father's business and stay in the Father's perfect will. And God said, just as they hurled stones at my son Jesus, they will hurl stones at you. Some will hit and others will miss. But stay the course. Stay the path I've placed your feet upon. And like my son Jesus, keep walking toward the calling I have upon your life. Do not abandon that calling. You will affect so many nations if you reject the calling I have upon your life. This is a prophetic word given by God for us tonight. New horizons. I have started a journey with you to new horizons. And in this dispensation of time, you shall go a way that you have never been before. Keep that embedded in your spirit. You will go a way you've never been before. This is the reason that I have been telling you not to look back from whence you came. This is a new dispensation of time and a brand new season. Do not get stuck in this is really neat. I don't want to leave this place of security. Do not get stuck in where you're at right now. You're secure in this place. Do not get stuck there. For the new horizons that lie before you are far greater than the old. Newness of life lies in the new horizons. Blessing after blessing will abound. Right now, God is talking about newness of life to me in everything he speaks about. In this new horizon lies the second return of my son, Jesus. You, my beloved ones, are preparing the way for him to come and gather his people to himself. You are the ones that will carry the torch to the end of the race, and you are the ones that will understand all mysteries that have been buried away for such a time as this. You people, not the people next door, but you people, you need to understand that God is doing this through you. God said, I have been speaking for decades now of this end time event. I have continually spoken to all of my children and all of his children, all, just not me or you, but all, and encourage them not to lose heart or their faith in what I have spoken over them. You are the most important instrument in this event. Now, I think that's really interesting. You are the most important instrument in this event, for it is through you that I will carry out my total and complete will. You see that? We've been through a lot, but it was training. And now we're out of boot camp, we're on the front line, and we are the warriors that God is going to work through. Others have desired to see this time, but they have come on home with me, and they are watching this event unfold from the portals of heaven. And I remember Wednesday night as I was stepping down off of here, and you guys were at the altar, God spoke that. He said, others have desired to see this time. You're going to see things that no Christian, no child of God has ever seen before. I think that's awesome. Do you desire to understand all mysteries? Then keep on the path that I have laid out before your feet and do not stumble nor fall. Hope for the future is looming before you, and all of heaven is rejoicing, for such a time as this has never occurred before. Now think about it. If this is the truth, and it is, that is why you're being fought so hard, church. Because the devil doesn't want you to see this. He doesn't want you to reach that place. For such a time as this has never occurred before. The devil's upset, he's scared, and he's running scared. And when people run scared, they do things they would never do otherwise. You know, I watched that their crime thing, and the reason why people, when they shoot somebody, they empty their gun out into them because they do the first, this is what I've come to the conclusion, they shoot the first shot and then the adrenaline sets in, then they just empty the whole gun on that person. There's no, you know, there's no purpose in it, but they just get lost in what they're doing. And so they're running scared. In Isaiah 43, Israel was presently in captivity in Babylon, but there was a new horizon before them. Some of you are in captivity in Babylon right now with your sin nature or whatever, but there's a new horizon line before you, or God would not say so. God promises that, we're talking about the Israelites, God promises that his people will be released from exile through a new exodus. And as I was typing this, I just know that I know that I know that God is going to release those who are still in bondage in a way he's never done it before. It's going to be totally and completely different, and man will not be able to take the credit for it. All right? So we can't go the old way of releasing people. We can't go the old way of delivering people, because God's going to get all the credit. And if you're looking for, if you're telling him he's going to do it the way you think, no, he's not. No, he is not. He's going to do it his way. All right, he was their God, and he desired to show forth his glory through them in their deliverance. As glorious as an exodus from Egypt was, a new journey was before them, even greater than before. I keep, you know, you young whippersnappers, I like to smack you really good, because you don't understand what God is going to do through you guys. You just don't. We don't know what exactly lies before us, but we too have been in captivity. Sin has been holding us back from everything God wants and the full delight he desires for us. He promises great and marvelous works, doing it in ways we cannot even imagine. If you're sitting down trying to figure out how God is going to do this, that's a sin. You're not walking in faith, and you're not trusting God to get it done. And you're really trying to tell him how to do it and when to do it. Amen. But we need to discern the path to take with a God-centered mindset. God, you're in control. You've brought me here. You're not going to drop me. And I'm just going to let you take me wherever you want to take me to, however you want to take me. Isaiah 43:16 shows through 21 shows us who this God is that goes with us towards this new horizon. And Isaiah 43:16 through 21 This is what the Lord says. This is what he's saying to you guys, all right? This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. That's the enemy. That's what they ended up like. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself. Why? That they may proclaim my praise. Isaiah 43 is a prophetic prophecy which looks beyond the overthrow of present enemies to the return home for a people of God. Remember, God said this is a year that the prodigals are going to return home. I believe some of us in here are the prodigals. We're going to finally understand what God's doing, and we're going to return to the true God, and we're going to shove ourselves out of the way and just let God be God. The description is obviously related to the Exodus, but it is not so much the events themselves we are reflecting on, as it is the power, the love, and the dependability that the Lord demonstrated in those events. Which came first, the Red Sea or the crossing of the Jordan? See, God had never done that before. It was a new thing. Moses stood there with the Red Sea in front of him, the enemies in back of him. He said, all right, God, what are you going to do now? And God does a mighty miracle. He parts the Red Sea, and they walk over it. And then the Jordan, he did the same thing, but they'd already seen him part the waters. And they were just enjoying the parting of the waters so they could walk over. See what he says about is a new thing you've never seen before? Well, same old isn't going to be the same old. Everything's going to be brand new. Because, you know, God's first of all, it was God, and then it was Jesus, and then it was the Holy Spirit. Now God's been angry for a few years. He said, now I've come back on the scene, and they're going to know that I'm God. And when God comes back on the scene, it was God that opened the Red Sea, right? Now God's back on the scene. Now he's going to do things you've never seen before. Isn't that exciting? I think it is. Get excited. No matter what way God has taken you, you can depend on him to bring you safely through even the roughest storms of life. So you guys that are going through your dark places, right there it is. You can depend on God to bring you safely through even the roughest storms of life. Quit your crying about it. Quit sticking your head in the sand and hoping it goes away, because it's not going to go away. God said you're going to go through this dark time. You're going to go through it. I don't care what you can yell, scream, kick, do it, walk on the ceiling, do whatever you want to do. God is not going to take it out of your life. This is something you have to go through. I've tried all those things and it doesn't work. I still had to go through the dark times. That's why I'm saying that. All right, in considering a way forward, we must have a true destination in mind. It does no good to merely seek to eliminate present difficulties if we fail to figure out what we hope to gain. Each one of you need to know if you're going through a dark place, this is a Job experience, and there's something in this experience that you have that God's trying to show you. The sooner you find out what it is, the quicker your dark time's going to go away. I can guarantee you. In other words, we can gain everything we might immediately desire and not achieve any lasting godliness. Sometimes God has to take us by route of the Red Sea to get us to our true place of destiny. In other words, you're going to come to the sea and no place to go. You're going to hit the wall, and you're just going to have to cry out to God, get me out of here. Amen. In Isaiah 43, verse 16, God reminds his people of what he did at the time of the exodus from Egypt, providing them with a path to the sea and at the same time destroying the Egyptian army. God wants to destroy your enemies. He just doesn't want to keep you safe. He wants to destroy your enemies so they don't come back and try to attack you again. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 is where Israel crosses the Jordan. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Excuse me. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it. See, God's given them instructions as they go. In order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. This is a different bunch of people. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant. See, Joshua knew what God was getting ready to do. He says, consecrate yourself. God's going to do a wonderful thing for you. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, God speaking to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. Why? That they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. See, God will exalt you. Quit trying to exalt yourself. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, this is what he's supposed to tell the priest, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. That's what I try to say to you. Come here and listen to what God's saying to you. Amen. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you all the ites, this and that and the other, all right? Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. And you know, this is what's happening to the church today. The Ark of God is passing before us. And he's trying to get us to believe him and trust in him so he can free us from our enemies. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man, and when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off when the priests step into the water. Then the waters are going to be cut off. Isn't that what it's telling you here? Be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priest, bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priest bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. That's sort of neat because God's been trying to get us to get the living waters to come forth, right? And he's telling us to get into the water. So here it's saying here that the ark had come as far as the Jordan. The feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away. See that? Wouldn't that be awesome to see that? Here comes a river, whoop, and it just stops. That would be awesome. It rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down toward the sea of the our brother Salt Sea were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. The very same thing he did for Moses, he did for Joshua. The very same miracle. But the people had to follow the commandments of God for all this to take place. God wants to do special miracles in your life, but you're going to have to follow his commandments. You're going to have to be obedient to everything he's telling you to do. Well, how do I know what he's telling me to do? This is where God is saying, find a secret place and find a place where you can be quiet before me and listen for my still small voice of instruction. And the reason why some of you drowned in the sea and God couldn't part it when you're in your dark place is because you were not in a secret place listening for a still small voice of instruction. And so you did things you shouldn't have done. That came from God. So just do whatever you want to with it, all right? Isaiah 43:18 says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Now, this is all scripture. This is God. We can take heart from what God did in the past. He is not limited by the pattern or extent of his previous interventions. God is predicting a new exodus for his chosen ones, and it will not be like anything else he has ever accomplished. I bet God sits up there. No, I don't bet. God sits up there in his throne room, you know, and he has his little drawing board in front of him, you know, and he just sits there and giggles as he thinks of different things he can do in different people's lives to just blow their minds away. Something you would never think about. Did you ever think about God that way? Okay, so we have Aaron here today. Let's put Aaron here. He's the rook or whatever they are. You know, let's just build a story around about him. How can I blow his mind? God's got a hard one on that one. Amen. He has to think of something really good to blow his mind. All right, Jeremiah 23:1, the righteous branch. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. God talked a lot about it to the shepherds this morning. Declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. Now, this is what God is talking to the shepherds. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them. And I will bring them back to, what's he going to deal with? The remnant. I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. We're not multiplying, we are decreasing, not increasing here. All right? I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. God's not going to lose one of his sheep. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. God is trying to raise up a righteous branch right now. In his days, in David's days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them, then they shall dwell in their own land. There's going to come a day when God's going to bring the people together. And this is what God is trying to do to his church, is bring his people together. Rather than bind up, heal, protect, and feed their sheep, Judah's leaders have destroyed and scattered them. And that's what's going on today. The very same thing is going on today. Leaders are not doing their jobs, and God's people are perishing every day. But God is bringing forth a brand new troop of leaders that are going to be filled with the Spirit. They will lead the new converts right up into heaven's courts. I know when I keep saying the same things over and over again, you look at me, you just said that. Yeah, and I'll keep repeating that until you get it. Amen. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? No, some of you don't. I bet you will. And I say, God, just drop your glory and zap them really good. And he said, that won't even cause them to believe. And so he says, I'm working on the hearts. And when I bring my glory, only the righteous will receive the glory drop. Some people have hardened their hearts to the point that they won't receive from God anymore. The old patterns of exodus and deliverance pale in comparison to what is going to happen. You know, God is, you just don't understand. God's been showing me so many wonderful things. It's going to be awesome. Awesome. And I don't want anybody to miss it. I don't want to look up and see you standing there over there in the corner crying and screaming and beating your head in because you decided to stay in your sin rather than receive the abundance of the glory that God wants to give you. In each of our lives, we are in a continual path of more than enough works. We are asking too small. Remember how God said to me, you always ask small. Start asking big. So I've been asking big, and because I've been asking big, the devil's working overtime trying to destroy. We are asking too small. We need to enlarge our prayer circle. We need to look past our circumstances and know we serve a king who will provide. That's hard to do. It really is. It's really hard to look past your circumstances. And if you say it isn't, well, thank God you're there. We're not yet. Because, you know, the devil just puts circumstances in front of you that just seem unsurmountable, you know. We need to honestly believe that God can and will bring the anointing for deliverance in every situation that is around about us. And if you can't honestly believe that, then you're going to stay bound. We don't know the day, the hour, the time, but God promises us deliverance. Do you truly believe that God can do the greater works for those who believe and do not lose heart? In the new things for this year, God will not spare us difficulty, but he will provide a way for us to walk through them. If we are spiritually blind, we will either avoid the difficult path to our loss or fail to rely on God to walk it. This all means knowing what we have, who we are, and how to rely on God to do his will. Really, when you come to that place, which I have, that's the time that God comes into your life in such a way that just rocks your boat. You know, he just comes in and he just starts showing you things he's never showed you before. And you just feel his presence like you never felt it before. And you out of the corner of your eyes, you start seeing movement, which is the holy angels. And God starts doing great and mighty works in your life. All right, Mark 4:26 says, and he said, God, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. You know, the farmer went out there and scattered the seed. He didn't go out there keep digging it up to see if it was going to grow. It tells you how it grew. This is the way your life is. God scatters seed in you. And then you're supposed to just keep watering it by the word and let everything come forth that God has sowed with inside of you. Popular expectation at the time of Jesus was that God's kingdom would come suddenly and all at once. Jesus teaches that the messianic rule of God commences without notice, grows slowly but steadily in the midst of much adversity and reaches its glorious culmination point at the second coming of Jesus. So, God has come into your life without notice. The things He's placed within you are growing slowly but steadily in the midst of your dark places. So you don't walk away when you're in a dark place. You keep on walking. And that's one thing that God told me just recently. I love the way you keep walking when you get into a hard place. And, you know, my father taught me that as a young girl. You don't stop just because you came into a hard place. He said, pick yourself up, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, because nobody else will. This is my earthly father taught me this. He said, when you're down, they come and they'll kick you. So don't expect somebody else to pick you up. You have to walk your own walk. And only God, and my father was a godly man, but, you know, only God knows what's going on in your life. I wish we had more godly fathers. We wouldn't have the messed up kids we have today. But that's in the past. And God has promised us He is going to bring the fathers into the rightful places and the mothers into their rightful places. And He's going to clean up families and marriages. And it's going to be a marvelous time. So that's what I stand on. I don't know about you. All right, so we made mistakes in the past. You can't go back and change that past. You already did that dumb stuff. Leave it alone and move forward. God has seasons of planting and seasons of harvest. There are lean years and years of abundance. We know that, don't we? You know, our walk with God. Sometimes we're just so happy we can't stand ourselves. And maybe the next day we're so down we can't find ourselves, you know? If we become discouraged or, God forbid, recess in the work that God has called us to do, then we are trampling over His provisions and the work that the Holy Spirit has been doing that perhaps at the present time we cannot see. Yeah, in other words, we can't see what the Holy Spirit's doing in our life. We just said when God prophesied to us, He told us what was going to happen, where He's taken us to. And we can't see what's going on, but we walk by faith and not by sight. And we just know that we're in God's hands and He's in control of all things. As you're moving forward, thank God for His past provision. Petition Him for greater works that will show forth His glory. And ask of us just how big our prayers and actions can be for His kingdom. You ask yourself, how big are my prayers? How much do I really trust God to provide for me? And how many of you, well, with me, I'll just say with me, I cry out continually, God, I want to see me do the greater works. You told me I could do greater works. I want to see that day. I'm tired of what I'm doing. I mean, it was important for God and it was wonderful, but now it's stale. We want fresh manna from heaven. Each day should be a day of fresh manna from heaven. Is it going to come simply? No. The devil's not going to just, here, baby, it's a gold plate with your desires on it. No, he's going to take that plate and smash it and make you believe God is not going to do what he said he's going to do. Isaiah 43:19 says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? In other words, do you not see what I'm doing? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, why do they do that? Because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself. Why did he form you for himself? That they may proclaim my praise. The way in the wilderness is a theme that Isaiah frequently employs and represents divine provision for his chosen ones to come to him. God, if you're in a dark place, God is making a way. But what are you focusing on? The dark things you're going through? The things God's trying to rip out of you, you don't want to let go of? Or are you focusing on the fact that when it's all done, you're going to be greater than when you went into it? Or are you going to be worse than when you went into it? Or are you going to be the same as you were when you went into it? It's going to be up to you. The terrain they have to walk is pictured as wilderness and desert wasteland. Isn't that what dark places are? It's a wilderness and desert wasteland. How many times you've been going through a dark place? You said, God, get me out of the backside of the desert. I've been here too long. Get me out of this, please. But you know what? God said, in my timing, in my timing. Because there's still some things you have to learn. The path that each of us have to travel to be the people that God desires us to be in fullness of joy and holiness is a difficult and often lonely one. And it is. It wasn't but 2 months ago I cried out to God, I feel so alone. I know I have to be in this place, but I feel so alone. Can't you just send somebody? But he didn't. He said, I'm more than enough. And it passed. And one day I woke up and I was no longer lonely. And that dark place was gone. Are you understanding this? Certain things you have to go through. You have to be tried and tried and tried to become a warrior. It will mean we often have to undertake solitary spiritual disciplines and works of righteousness that we shall most likely receive no earthly reward of accolade. In other words, you're going to go through things you're not going to receive any reward for, but you just have to go through them. But it is only this hard self-sacrificial work that produces a crop of righteousness. You know, if you weren't going through this dark place, you wouldn't become righteous at all. Come on, don't fool yourself. God had to cut you off. And God had to put you in a place where it's just you and him. And God's told me that. He said, daughter, this is just you and me. Nobody else. And you're not going to be able to rely on anybody else. You're not going to be able to call on anybody else. This is you and me. It was a dark place. And it's just me and God. Other people were praying for me because they knew I was going through it. But they couldn't get me out of it. I had to walk through it. So why do you think you're so special that you don't have to walk through it? Come on. Come on. And I'm hearing God say, you're bigger than that. You can go through any dark place I place you in. Your character is what it's all about. All right, the broad way leads to destruction, but the narrow way to love and hope and peace. Ephesians 3:20-21, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Come on, some of you are going to the dark place. You are not shouting this. You are not. But this is what we should be shouting. Amen. I didn't shout in it, shout it either. So, you know, I'm not sitting up here trying to think I'm more better than you are. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim, why are we all that? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Aren't you glad that God's calling you out of darkness and placing you in his marvelous light? You know, this is trite, but this too shall pass. Then lo and behold, the next one's going to be worse. Come on, because he goes deeper and deeper and deeper within your spirit to get all that junk out of there that's going to cause you harm later on down the road. It's going to show you that you're not all that and then some. I know, I was there. I saw. I thought I was above this. But God said, no. See, God might have to show you a few things about yourself. Well, you know, I'm the apple of his eye. Well, he's going to show you what he does to the apple every now and then. He has to peel it. Come on. Where am I at? 1 Peter. Did we read 1 Peter 2:9? Yeah. All right. God's chosen people are to declare his grace and love. I want to hear you too proclaim his grace and his love. I don't want to see you act like a fool. Give God the glory. And when you give God the glory, you give the enemy a black eye. They are to be a people who will praise their God. Come on. when you're in that dark place, you know, you're going to have to muster up that praise. Believe me, you will. You're going to have to reach down to the very core of your feet and pull it up from there to praise Him. Amen. Remember, God is using His remnant churches at this dispensation of time to make a way in the wilderness for others to follow. That's what our whole job's been. If you're a remnant church, you are going before the people. You're paving a way that they won't have to walk through what you walk through. And you can be a little bit selfish. They say, well, why should I make it easy for them? You didn't make it easy for me. Well, if you're truly a warrior, you do go before and make the way safer for people to follow. As He is using His remnant people to make this way in the wilderness, He is showing His great love and great grace to a lost and dying people. Do you know what kind of a testimony you're going to be whenever you get through this dark place in your life? Because people know you. They're sitting there going, look at that fool following God. Look what they're going through. But one day, one glorious day, it's all going to be over. And guess who's going to be laughing? You are. Right now you're crying. But I guarantee you will be laughing. And you have already paved the way for others to follow. And you will be a testimony that if you can do it, they can do it. Because you are a hardcore case. And if God can get you to this place that you're going to be in, He can get anybody there. Are you ready to be redeemed tonight from the fowler? Doesn't matter how hot the fire gets, you're going to follow Jesus. And you're no longer going to allow the enemy to pull you backwards. You go forward one step and go back 10. You're going to keep going forward. No matter what you have to do, you're going to move forward. And I'm hearing, guys, some of you are dragging your feet. And what He's doing right now is breaking a chain so you can't use that excuse that you're chained to past. But He's already freeing you up right now for you to move out of your seat. And you just have to keep walking forward. You know, I'm quite sure that after Jesus was beaten half to death, when He looked up that hill and He knew He had to carry that cross up there, I know He was wondering to Himself, can I really do this thing? He was human. So He took the first step, then the second step, then the next step. And the next thing you know, He was up that hill. Then came the nails. Then can you imagine, they dropped that cross into that hole, jarred those nails that were in His hands and His feet. Can you imagine the agony? Have you ever really thought about that? Can you imagine the agony He went through after all the beating He took? And then looking down and seeing most people had left Him. But He stayed on the cross. And He finally said, it is finished. And I know the body of Christ does not know what those words mean. He made the way of escape for you at that point. And if you have ventured into sin, you don't need to stay there. Because that cross made a way of escape. Tonight, some of you need a way of escape. You need to understand the way of escape. The altar is open for that.